Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the SmackDown Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by my trusty soundboard.
Yay!
It's a review Friday's episode of the SmackDown after WrestleMania. But before I get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Friday Night SmackDown or something, or Raw, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, just me today here to review Friday's episode of SmackDown. I had such a good time watching this show, though. I don't know whether I'm just still on a high from, well, quite possibly the best WrestleMania week ever, or I just am excited about the new directions that we're going into, or just happy that, you know, for once, WWE nailed the Raw and SmackDowns after WrestleMania in terms of not just completely scrubbing what had happened in the previous nights at WrestleMania, or make you think, oh, we're in the lull bit now after WrestleMania, are we? Like, there's so much exciting stuff to look forward to, big changes, as I will get into, and already big title matches getting set up. So we open the show with a big recap, of course, of what happened across, well, both nights of WrestleMania. In particular, night two, Cody Rhodes finishing the story and becoming the undisputed champion, defeating Roman Reigns. And then out comes Cody Rhodes in the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. Packed house yet again for WWE. No real surprise there nowadays, eh? But he gets a great reaction from the Detroit crowd. He talks about The Rock interrupting him on the Raw after WrestleMania, how that made his appearance, made him think of a particular Detroit native, and a line they're known for, "Who the hell told you it was open mic night, bitch?" And I was already like, well, this is going to be a good show if this is anything to go by. He said how Rock's confrontation felt like a wartime overture, and that Rock gave him something he'd gifted to The Rock years ago. But he believes The Rock when he says he's leaving, but when he does come back, he's coming for Cody. And he says, look, when that day comes, I'm not going to be hard to find. He says, that's in the past, though. In just a few weeks, I'm going to be headlining Backlash in Lyon, but I need a title challenge. He runs through the six men who are going to have triple threat matches throughout the evening, and then the two of them are going to face each other in a tag match, well, I suppose this week now. Santos Escobar, Rey Mysterio, L.A. Knight, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, and his good pal Kevin Owens. Says, we need to find out who the better man is. We're sold out here in Detroit. I'm no longer the hunter, but the hunted. And he says to those six wrestlers, if you come at the king, you better not miss. That reference. He says, look, if you are unsure who I am, I don't know how you're watching the show if you are, but anyway, he is Cody Rhodes, once undesirable, become undeniable, and now undisputed champion. And everyone just loves seeing Cody Rhodes with that belt over his shoulder, and I'm never going to get tired of it, I don't think. And we see the other new champion from WrestleMania, Bayley, walking backstage, as well as Rey Mysterio. And then in walks, I suppose, what's left of the bloodline right now, certainly for the time being. Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso, they go to walk into what traditionally has always been the bloodline's locker room, except it's the American Nightmare's locker room now. It says Cody Rhodes on the door, or it said American Nightmare, actually, possibly. And Kevin Owens walks past them and says, "You're not invited." Solo wants to take care of it, but Paul Heyman calms him down. He says, "Look, losing has consequences. That is the champion's locker room, and Cody is the champion now. If we want that back, then we need the title per order of the tribal chief." And we'll see more of them in a short while. Then we got our first number one contenders triple threat match. It was Santos Escobar versus Bobby Lashley versus El Escobar gets double teamed straight out the gate because he's a git. Oh, and prior to this, I should remember this now because I'm going to talk about it in a short while. He was interviewed and they said, he said, "Oh, I've got a plan." They said, "Well, you said you had a plan for WrestleMania and you took out Dragon Lee, obviously. And then, you know, Andrade took his place and da da da." And Santos said, "Oh, I'm guilty of many things, but I did not attack Dragon Lee." Anyway, Lashley gets pulled out of the ring by Knight. They brawl for a bit. Escobar dives onto both of them, and that takes us to break. When we come back, it's Lashley and Escobar fighting in the ring. They're on the top turnbuckle. Escobar's trying to escape, pushes Lashley away. Knight does that awesome jump of his to the top rope, goes to do the superplex, but before he can do that, Lashley grabs him, and so he superplexes Escobar technically, but Lashley powerbombs Knight whilst he's doing it for a great near fall. Phantom Driver attempt by Escobar on Knight, but he fights out of it. He hits that megastar elbow of his. Legado del Fantasma slide in, though, and attack LA Knight. He gets laid out with a triple powerbomb, and they go to go after Lashley. But before they can completely ruin this match, here comes Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins to fight off Angel and Humberto. It looks like they might be able to take down Angelo Dawkins. They manage to counteract his high-flying stuff, but then Montez Ford just comes flying out of the ring onto all of them. They're all at the match. Escobar gets taken down with a flatliner from Bobby Lashley. He sets up for a spear. Escobar dodges. Lashley posts himself, and Knight suddenly sneaks in. Blunt force trauma to Escobar. 1, 2, 3. He advances to the final next week. And you suddenly thought, wait a second, there's a guy who's got a bit of history with LA Knight in the other match. And spoiler alert, you'd be right. But we'll get to that in a sec. I really enjoyed this. And I'm glad Bobby Lashley didn't have to take the pin here because I'm expecting big things from him. I was far more impressed with that, whatever it was, Philly street fight featuring Snoop Dogg and Bubba Ray than I was ever expected to be at WrestleMania. And I like this team of Ford, Dawkins and Lashley, even though they've sort of flip-flopped between heels and faces and what have you. And B-Fab was in there with Electra Lopez as well. But I'm hoping for big things for Bobby Lashley throughout the rest of this year. This was where the LWO were interviewed backstage. And Rey Mysterio says, look, whether it's Santos Escobar or Ridge Holland, who I think laid out Cruz del Toro on NXT last week, karma's going to bite them in the arse. Kayla reminds them that Escobar's denied attacking Dragon Lee. And they're like, yeah. And one person who particularly seems to say, yeah, no, it definitely was Escobar who attacked him, is Carlito. Wonder why that might be. You get the feeling that Carlito thought, right, well, I got mugged off when he said, oh, I've got a partner to take you guys on, and it's Dragon Lee. He thought, well, if I take him out of the picture, then he'll have no choice but to pick me. And then he still picked Andrade. But I think long term, this is for the best. I'm glad that they're laying this out. And it's one of those obvious ones, but I'll still enjoy it when it gets revealed. And arguably, Rey Mysterio has no reason right now to question Carlito. But heel Carlito is the best version of Carlito. We'll see how that goes a little bit later on. Anyway, Mysterio doesn't pay any attention to this because he says, look, I'm going to go and win the number one contenders match later. And despite the fact I'm a Hall of Famer and I'm getting on in years, I still think I've got one more championship run in me. Okay, my favorite part of the evening came next. Paul Heyman comes out along with the Bloodline. And he says, tonight, by orders of the tribal, the chief, the Bloodline will make no excuses. They don't blame John Cena. They don't blame The Undertaker. They don't even blame Jey Uso. Yeet! Sorry, that's just a force of habit after last week. Accountability is a very important thing, and Roman Reigns has ordered that everyone, accept it. He says, at Mania, Roman entered the ring as prepared as possible, but Cody flipped the script from Mania 39. Seth Rollins had promised to be Cody's shield at Mania, the one piece of unfinished business for Roman, and when Roman had a chair at Mania, he could have crushed Cody legally, but he didn't because he wants to revisit a decade of revenge on Rollins. He was distracted just for a second, and he lost everything, which I really like as a story wrinkle to that mad conclusion to night two of, this isn't just, right, well, Tribal Chief's finished and off he goes and he'll come back and just, I don't know, faff around until you can get around to him versus The Rock eventually. I really am looking forward to him coming back and saying, I would have kept that title reign going, but his one kryptonite is the just still, after all these years, after all the achievements he's had and Seth's had and what have you, he still can't get over Seth destroying the Shield before they were kind of all ready for it to be over. And eventually, as Heyman laid out there, cost him everything. But yeah, Heyman says, your new undisputed champion is Cody Rhodes, but like a phoenix rising from the ashes. And before he can say any more, Solo Sikoa cuts him off. He cuts him off basically by just looking at him. And Solo looks like he's about to attack Paul Heyman. He gets very intense and very close to Heyman and says, so winning and losing matters, right? There's consequences to losing, right? Heyman agrees. He says, consequences mean change. He pushes Heyman aside and he stares down Jimmy Uso, who can't believe this, the temerity of this. He gets very angry, but Solo calms him down, hugs him, and tells him he loves him. He releases him from the hug, turns around, and all of a sudden, Jimmy Uso is attacked by someone in a hoodie who takes the hood down to reveal Tama Tonga is the newest member of the Bloodline. I popped my little tits off for this one. Not just because I've got a bit of history with Tama Tonga, if you're unaware. He once choked Phil Chambers out mid-podcast when we were out in Vegas recording one around StarCast and what have you. Shout out, as always, to Comrade for sorting all that out. But Tama obviously has been heavily linked with Bloodline and WWE ever since leaving New Japan. He might not be the only one arriving in the Bloodline soon, but he looked in incredible shape. Saw mixed reaction in terms of some people knew who it was, and other people just thought, well, this is kind of cool that Jimmy Uso is getting his final comeuppance, little weasel that he was. He stomps down Jimmy, headbutts him, Solo stops him, but then makes him hold him up, and he hits a series of spikes on Jimmy whilst Paul Heyman just screams no in the background. Heyman can't believe what he's seeing right now. Solo brings him back to the center of the ring. They do the ones up to the sky. Paul Heyman goes to call Roman Reigns, but Solo grabs the phone out of his hand and stamps on it. And he gets a chair, Tama Tonga, sorry, gets the chair. And they wrap it around Jimmy's head. Solo bends down close to Jimmy and says that he loves him. And as he's running across the ring, this is very well timed, as he's running across the ring to crush his head in the chair in the corner with a hip attack, Heyman yells, this is not what the Tribal Chief wants! But Jimmy Uso is decimated by Solo Sikoa and the newest member of the Bloodline, Tama Tonga. And they leave. And a very scared Paul Heyman goes with them. I love this development. Because I think a lot of people were unsure what was going to happen to the Bloodline in the immediate aftermath of WrestleMania if/when Roman Reigns dropped the title. Because he was always going to go away after he dropped that title. There's no point in having him on the next week's show saying, oh, well, time to go after some mid-card titles or whatever. And it's like, well, okay, but what do the people who are left do? You could have Paul Heyman go and manage Bron Breakker, for example, as he had links there in the past. I've always said Solo Sikoa, I think, would be a great challenger early on for Cody Rhodes to try and win that belt back for the Bloodline. But I do, and have always liked, the theories when Tama Tonga's contract came up, obviously, and when we'd had the links of Jacob Fatu potentially coming in as well. The idea of new blood coming into the bloodline, and who knows, maybe that means it's bloodline 2.0. And when Roman comes back, he's like, this isn't the bloodline, this is something completely different. And that might be the catalyst for him to turn face with the Usos, the original bloodline. Or maybe there's a power struggle at the top with Solo Sikoa, who's built this team up in his absence. Who knows? And then where does The Rock fit into all this as well? Regardless, a big, big development on the SmackDown after WrestleMania. And I think that's something we've been crying out for on both Raw and SmackDowns after WrestleMania for ages, of just like, give us something to get our teeth into rather than just, well, Mania's over, so no point trying anymore. The other thing we get on the Raw and SmackDowns after WrestleMania is call-ups. This is sort of cheating because he's half been called up already. But it was time for another Bron Breakker squash match. You know these are coming. Me and Sidge said this when we were in attendance on Raw, when someone who's just been completely missing across WrestleMania is suddenly front and center in the ring. You got Shinsuke Nakamura and Indy Hartwell on the Raw after WrestleMania. Hang on, I need to use that button again. On the SmackDown after WrestleMania, we return to the ring, and who's there but Cameron Grimes. Long-term listeners will know my love for Cameron Grimes, stretching back to many, many years ago in NXT. I don't know what's gone on there. I don't know why they haven't utilized him. He was brought up, big fanfare, big, very quick victory over Baron Corbin when he arrived. And then they just didn't really do anything with him. And now here he is, you know, the next sort of level up in terms of, they had sort of jobber guys from NXT being squashed by Brom on the main roster or local competitors, whatever. Now it's like the next step up is Cameron Grimes. I hope the draft does something for him, whether it's just simply getting him on Raw and therefore there's more TV time and he can get to showcase his brilliant skills. Or even, I was chatting to this in the guys at the office earlier on, you just draft him back to NXT, which may feel like a step back. But if, like a Dijak, he can reinvent himself or even just reinsert himself, this time at a world title level rather than, you know, North American title where he was previously, and just keep him fresh whilst you decide what you're doing with him on the main roster, because it's a real waste, in my opinion, to just have him there to job out to Bron Breakker, although he did make him look awesome. And he did get a tiny bit of offense in, which is more than some people have got in the past. A couple of suplexes from Bron Breakker straight out the gate. Grimes fights out of one of them. Hard-hitting clotheslines from Breakker. Grimes tried to leap off the top at Breakker, but he just caught him, slammed him down, pulled down the straps and just ran through him. Vicious spear, destroyed Cameron Grimes. 1, 2, 3. Obviously, the Wolf Dogs have dropped their tag titles in NXT, so they are free to be on the main roster full-time. I do kind of wish they'd stay as a tag team, but Bron Breakker is set for huge things on the main roster. So, yeah, the quicker we can get around to that, the better, in my opinion.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the back, AJ Styles says tonight he fixes what went wrong at WrestleMania. He's going straight for the title. He'll demolish everything in his way. It's not personal. This is necessary. He's going to step over both of the people who are in his match, which was, wait a second, I can remember this, Kevin Owens and Rey Mysterio. Step over both of their bodies to get what he wants. And the damage tonight is just a taste of what he's got for LA Noir next week. Then out comes new WWE Women's Champion Bayley to a great reaction from Detroit. She's high-fiving fans. She's getting the "You Deserve It" chant, quite rightly. And she says it feels good to hear the crowd chanting that. She felt so damn proud to be called the new WWE Women's Champion. Her win at WrestleMania felt so special because it was different. Yes, she's won titles, she's lost titles, she's been involved in big matches at WrestleMania in the past, but now she's the champion in a new exciting era, which represented the best women's locker room in memory. She thanks the fans who've been there for her for 11 years for never giving up on her, and she's excited to start this journey, and she wants to give out a new opportunity. But before she can get any further, oh, what time is it? Oh, it's Tiffy time! Out comes Tiffany Stratton, another one of my favourites. She's pissed off that she wasn't given a shot at Mania. Me too. And if Bayley's building towards an open challenge, then Tiffany accepts because, as I said, it's Tiffy time. But Bayley goes, ooh, it's a bit embarrassing. This wasn't going to be an open challenge. I actually had the person I wanted to face in mind. Someone who made a big return at the Royal Rumble. Naomi! And Tiffany says, Naomi? She can win a title if it glowed in the dark. And that brings Naomi out, who looks very pissed off with Tiffany Stratton. And Tiffany's like, well, I've already beaten her. And Naomi's like, in that inimitable way of hers, wrong night to test me, Tiffany. But I've earned everything I've gotten, and I'm not going to stop now. I'm not going to accept Bayley's challenge until I beat you, Tiffany Stratton. That takes us to a break. We'll circle back to that match in a second, because first, hey, Kayla! Is outside the doctor's office when Paul Heyman comes out after what Jim Uso was put through by Solo and Tama Tonga. And Heyman says, Jimmy's not okay. And then suddenly Tama comes up to him, menacing yet again, and just says, by orders of the tribal chief. And Solo's there, and he smirks, and he looks at that taped thumb of his, and the two of them just leave. And Heyman turns to Kayla and goes, what the hell does that mean? I like fearful Paul Heyman. I like boastful Paul Heyman just as much, but yeah, ominous. Ominous signs to the bloodline here. Anyway, time for Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. You got Bayley at ringside watching, and let's be honest, being completely biased in terms of who she wants to win because she was cheering on Naomi. Back and forth early on, Stratton recovers, attacks Naomi in the corner, trips her up, hits a running hip strike along the middle rope, but Naomi fights back with a drop kick and a kick from the apron. But Stratton shoves Naomi into the ring post for a crash on the outside to take us to a commercial break. Come back, Naomi's hitting a flying crossbody and then springboard kick on Tiffany Stratton. Running drop kick in the corner. Naomi gets the splash, but Stratton just kicks out of it. Stratton comes back, O'Connor roll, double stomp. This time Naomi kicks out at two. Stratton counters Naomi's offense, gets her with the Alabama slam. She's in position for the prettiest moonsault ever, but Naomi dodges it, and Tiffy gets caught with a jackknife pin. 1, 2, 3, Naomi wins. Not only does she get a future title shot at Bayley's title, I didn't realize this until later on the show, she gets the title shot this week with Bayley, which I suppose does make sense, because I was watching that and I was thinking, great, Naomi, number one contender, fantastic. You know, back in that position she deserves to be because they kind of brought her in for the Rumble and then didn't really do much with her. And, well, that supergroup is going places now, as we'll get to. But, yeah, number one contender. And I thought, well, that's all well and good, but it is babyface versus babyface. And if you're going to do that and then try and get out of it, because it doesn't feel like either of them are going to turn heel anytime soon, obviously, if you're going to have to try and do that with a screwy finish. Ooh, I want to do that on pay-per-view, particularly in France, if it's, you know, first time you've put on a big show there for, I don't know. But no, that match is literally this Friday. So this Friday, me and Hanfler, hopefully, will preview that for you. I'm biased, but...
Oh, my God.
I loved the Eitan Denander vignette. They're just boastful bell ends, aren't they? They love putting each other over. They both kind of hate each other, you can tell. They both think that they're the real main force in Eitan Denander. But they're there saying, Grayson Waller comes in, first WrestleMania, boom, wins a title. And then Grayson Waller's like, hey, Austin Theory, you're pretty bloody good too. You beat John Cena last time. You're a champion. It's like you're allergic to not winning titles at WrestleMania or something. Anyway, unbearable, but brilliant because it's them. And then we cut to the office of the SmackDown GM. And unfortunately, Hanfler's not here. And I can't remember for the life of me what his name is. There's Street Profits. There's News Catch Republic. And the GM says, we'll sort out a challenger for them next week. And then, yet again, another hero, another guy you should have your children watch, aspire to be, and most importantly, make them drink Prime.
Oh, my God.
Logan Paul's there. What a git. He puts himself over, says he was amazing at Mania. He says, I'm the real legend killer. And he also called Kevin Owens a dunce and all that. But he says, look, big things going on in WWE. And that's all thanks to me. Every event I've been part of has been the biggest thing WWE's done. 200 odd million or whatever it was. Social media impressions. He describes this as the Logan Paul Levesque era. Hang on. I think I've got a button for this.
No! 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 No!
But in the best possible way. I mean that, of course. right. I just love this show. Chelsea Green, she of getting destroyed by Jay Cargill in like 6 seconds on the Raw after Mania, is seen with the SmackDown GM and Piper Niven saying, oh, I can't believe bloody did that to us on Raw, eh? Postman Pierce put us through that. You'd never do that to us, would you, SmackDown GM? You know, we wanted some tag team opponents. Do you think you can sort that out for us? And, you know... And he says, no, I'd never put you in singles action against Jade Cargill. So it was Chelsea Green and Piper Niven versus Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Yes!
Oh, my God.
I know. This is WWE. Can they coexist? How long is this tag team going on for? I cannot wait for this tag team to split up. They are obviously, one would assume, going to dethrone Damage Control and hopefully hold the women's tag titles for quite some time because, I mean, who on earth beats them? But when they do finally drop those tag titles, what a match. Maybe SummerSlam? I don't know. What a match that is going to be. People were speculating about this match happening at WrestleMania. And right, it would have been great. It's going to be great regardless. It's got Bianca Belair in it. I know Jade Cargill's greener than most, but it's Bianca Belair. She could pull a great match out of me if she wanted to, right? Think about this now. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair with the simmering months of... Because didn't Jade Cargill, when she first turned up, do a KOD or do some big power move that Bianca Belair does? And you were like, oh. Well, I think Bianca Belair's version kind of sucks now because look at the size of Jade Cargill. These two women, oh my God, I've never been more excited for a newly introduced tag team to immediately split. We've just seen The Rock and Roman Reigns team up. So there we go. It wasn't a long match. It's Chelsea Green and Piper Niven taking on 2/3 of the supergroup that were just mega stars at Mania. Belair hit a standing spinebuster on Green to start. Niven comes in. Niven says, oh, I want Jade Cargill. But as Bianca Belair goes to tag her in, Niven grabs her by the hair and hits a sit-down powerbomb. Belair avoided the splash, though, gets Cargill in. And during the match, there was a glitch and there's a cryptic you forgot about us message. Uncle Howdy, one would assume. More clues to that. Anyway, eventually Chelsea Green's the legal woman. Cargill just kicks her. Gets her up, jaded, 1, 2, 3. Nothing more than it needed to be this. And like I said, I mean, the time for damage control on the tag titles is running short off the back of this. But I just cannot wait for that team to split and those two to go at it. I would assume by SummerSlam, but who knows? Might be sooner than that. You know all this cool new production stuff WWE's done? Well, Kevin Owens has been watching that too, because he's meant to be doing an interview before the number one contenders triple threat main event with Byron Saxton. And he says, can I have a go at one of them walk and talk things? Don't need you, Byron. Takes the mic. He also grabs I think it was Detroit Tigers championship belt from a merch table and knocks off some CM Punk t-shirts. We all saw it. Anyway, he's walking, he's cutting a promo. He really wants this WWE title. He hopes AJ is still suffering PTSD. He says, look, me and Ray got a lot in common. We've got sons taller than we are, but my son's awesome, whilst Dominic sucks. Anyway, he wants the title, and he's going to beat both of them to get there. Just before the match, we find out, next week, Bayley versus Naomi for the WWE Women's Championship, a tag team fatal four-way, number one contenders match, Street Profits, Authors of Pain, New Catch Republic, Legado del Fantasma, and LA Knight versus the winner of this match to see who faces Cody Rhodes at Backlash. It was Rey Mysterio versus Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. To take us to a break, Owens throws Styles against the barricade, hits him with a cannonball, and Mysterio flattens Owens with a splash immediately following that. When we come back, Mysterio counters an attempted Owens power slam into a DDT and then reverse Styles' attempt at a pile driver to set him up for the 619. But Styles grabbed Rey Mysterio's legs. Ushigoroshi fights Owens in the corner, does AJ. Mysterio sends him outside. Mysterio meets Owens in the corner. But as Corey Graves said, he's not been paying much attention because he tried to superplex Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens hits him with the swinging superplex from the top. Mysterio kicks out at two. Owens manages to avoid a standing moonsault from AJ Styles, hits a super kick, but the pop-up powerbomb gets countered into the Pele kick. So Owens fires back with a double-stacked German suplex on both AJ Styles and Rey Mysterio.
Oh, my God.
Love that spot. Owens flips Mysterio into Styles, who sends Styles into the ropes for another 619. He hits it, but Owens gets Rey with a stunner on the apron.
Oh, my God.
Love to finish this match. Styles is down the ring. Owens goes up top, goes to the Swanton. Styles gets his knees up, goes to come off the top or maybe set up for a phenomenal forearm. He's in the ropes, basically. Mysterio and AJ fight on there. Styles gets the upper hand and then basically hit a super Styles clash? An avalanche Styles clash? Anyway, it looked incredible. He Styles clashes Mysterio from the turnbuckle onto Kevin Owens. Obviously, Owens is out of it as a result of that. Pins Rey Mysterio 1-2-3, which means we get a WrestleMania rematch next week, this week. AJ Styles versus LA Knight to see who faces Cody Rhodes at Backlash. And there's a trash talk bit between LA Knight and AJ Styles to sign off this show. Not to get ahead of myself. Obviously, I'll talk more about this with Hamflot on Friday. But yeah, I don't think you can go far wrong. We sort of said this at the time that they were setting up Styles and Knight for WrestleMania, that I thought Styles was going to beat Knight to set him up as the number one contender. But this is, you know, equally effective as a way to set up first opponent. No one's but you might as well have, you know, Colin Delaney face Cody Rhodes for the amount of people have confidence that this person's going to dethrone Cody Rhodes. So why not have someone good, someone who can have a decent match with Cody Rhodes, and someone with a bit of history? Cody Rhodes, I should have mentioned on that opening promo, alluded to the fact that I think him and AJ are only one of four people to hold the world title and the NWA world title. If I'm wrong, do correct me, at Adam Wilborn on X. But yeah, I sense it's going to be AJ Styles because you want to get Cody Rhodes booed early on in this run. You put him against LA Knight. all in all, a really enjoyable SmackDown after WrestleMania. Like I said, just nice to have one that has focused direction, good matches, and some really, really exciting developments. So excited. And I can't believe I'm saying this because I thought it was just going to be dead after Mania. So excited for what's next for the new bloodline or whatever we're going to be calling it. But please do let me know your thoughts on this show and the new bloodline on X at WhatCultureWWE. You can find me on there at Adam Wilborn. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The Raw preview and the Collision review is available right now. And hopefully, all going well, all of the Dadley Boys will be back tomorrow to review Monday Night Raw. But for now, this has been the SmackDown After WrestleMania review. Thanks to you for joining me, and I will see you soon.